a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I am very excited for you to meet them. Now, I'm always a little hesitant to start quoting scripture right off the bat here on the big show. Seems a little off-brand for all of us just regular guys here, but there's a very familiar Bible verse that I only recently started to really understand that came to mind when I first met today's guest. And it's the one, we've all heard it, it's the one about Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees, trying to trick him, when they asked him if it was appropriate to be paying taxes to Caesar or the government, to which Jesus very cleverly answers by asking, well, whose face is on the coin? They say it's Caesar's. And then, of course, Jesus, you know, utters those famous lines, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what's God's. And now for years, I thought that that verse was, you know, just kind of dismissive, you know, just kind of basically meant that there really wasn't any honor in paying our sort of secular kind of dues, if you will. And, you know, that the whole Caesar government thing was just, you know, kind of this temporal, disposable, kind of insignificant thing, really, in the grand scheme of things that Jesus was, you know, standing for. And it was a pretty clever comeback for Jesus, you know, but as I've learned through the wise counsel of people way smarter than me, it really wasn't a dismissive reply. Jesus wasn't saying to blow off Caesar. In fact, you could argue that he was, you know, kind of advocating for good citizenship, but while remembering where our ultimate citizenship lies. You know, it's kind of a both and a both and better. So anyway, what does that have to do with today's guest? And he's not a tax collector, but he is a great example of good government and good service in action, great service in action. He's someone who has literally dedicated his life to serving our country in more ways than one. First, as a very decorated naval officer who earned three meritorious service medals, 4 Navy commendation medals, 1 Joint Service Achievement Medal, 3 Navy Achievement Medals over a 20 plus year career, before it was abruptly cut short for reasons that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But undeterred, unfettered, he remains committed to a life of service and quickly and nimbly pivoted now to a life of civil service, where he's now running for office. He's running for U.S. Congress in Minnesota's 3rd congressional district, which very well could be mine. I don't exactly know, so this could turn into the most aggressive campaign stop of his campaign here. But anyway, in addition to that, and most importantly, our guest today is a true man of God, a devoted husband, a father of 2 kids that I guarantee you win every single "Bring Daddy to School Day" speech, because this guy is remarkable, very, very literally remarkable. So please help me welcome and thank today's man of man, Mr. Tom Wheeler. Hey, Tom.
How are you doing, Jeff? Thank you for the kind intro, and it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, and I have to, and I'm going to admit to everybody out there listening, as I just realized when I was introducing you, so we've really just met. We've not known each other long. In fact, I have to even ask, is it Tom Wheeler or Wyler? I got to make sure that I got your last name.
Yes, right. It's Tom Wyler.
Wyler. Okay. Yeah. Good. See, you're so polite. You didn't even correct me on that. So we got Tom Wyler, who's with us today. And again, Tom, I really thank you for being here. And I joked about the campaign, but I have been, cause I actually do think, I think I'm in your district. And so I did a little reading up on you. You know, I want to be a good citizen here. And I have to say, you have given me a complete inferiority complex in everything that you've achieved through your life of service that I mentioned. I mean, I didn't even mention to everybody. This is a fun little fact. So Tom broke, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you broke a world's record for being, I was telling the girls this at dinner tonight, you broke a world record for being on a submarine for the most consecutive days at like 206 days. Is that true?
And it was actually an aircraft carrier. So that was, as you mentioned, my naval career took a, had a curveball towards the end of it, but I ended up on the USS Eisenhower for my final deployment in the Navy. And we deployed for, 206 consecutive days, a nonstop from Norfolk to Norfolk, Virginia. We got to drive through the Mediterranean, through the Suez Canal, over to the Middle East and back, of course, but no stops.
Oh my gosh.
And that was in early 2020 as a result of both operational concerns and also mostly the COVID outbreak began as we were out on deployment.
Oh my gosh! Well, you've got four Peterson girls and a Peterson mom downstairs who now are just fascinated with that one thing alone. So when we see you in church, they're gonna corner you to tell more about that. But anyway, where I kind of want to start, you know, we've been blessed here on Mana to have some of your brothers in arms, if you will, other guys who have served to talk about service, to talk about faith, and how that kind of weaves in, how they intersect. And that's kind of how it, where I'd like to start. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but I want to really kind of start there because it's obviously service has been such a hallmark of your entire life. I mean, you know, going back to looks like ROTC days. And so I'd love to kind of just start there. We're going to just jump right in the deep end of the pool here to talk about service and faith and how they intersect for you. And have they always intersected for you, or is that something that kind of emerged over time?
No, it's always, I grew up in a family in a household dedicated to service and with a strong faith. So I really grew up in that setting, I guess. My dad was a military pilot, a pilot in the Navy. And we also grew up, you know, going to church every Sunday. We were the kids in big brown shoes in the front row with my mom and dad keeping us in line, me, my two brothers, and my younger sister. My younger sister was really never the problem, but my brothers and I tended to push the envelope. But my parents always made it a point that we sat right in the front of church just so the pressure was on, so both the priests and all the other parishioners could see us if we were screwing up. So I think it was a good tactic. But yeah, so I really grew up in that type of setting. And then as I was nearing completion of high school, I knew I wanted to continue to serve. And I knew I wanted to continue to develop in my faith and my relationship with God. And that's what led me to the University of Notre Dame on a ROTC scholarship. And you had mentioned ROTC. And yeah, to me, when I got to Notre Dame, it really, really strengthened my religious core, I guess. And like you mentioned, God Country Notre Dame is the door at the Notre Dame Basilica I got commissioned in front of. And to me, honestly, that those words and those that phrase above that door at the church really guided my 4.5 years at Notre Dame. And it really helped me prioritize what I was doing on a hourly by hourly basis to serve God, to serve country through my academics in ROTC, and then Notre Dame just to get the full college experience as a student at Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's neat. I didn't know that your dad had served as well. How big of a deal was that, and how early did you, like, was he always kind of the military dad, or was that something that was earlier on in your childhood that he then did something else later, or was that kind of his deal?
He was active duty military pilot until I was probably 3 or 4, and then he shifted from active duty to the reserves, and he started flying for Delta Airlines.
Okay.
So he was actually in the reserves until I was probably just about in high school. So I have a lot of memories of him bringing us to the military bases in Illinois, primarily when he was flying out of O'Hare for Delta, but then did his one week in a month and 1 week or 2 weeks a year in the reserves. So, between following my dad around the military bases and watching Top Gun about every other week, I was committed to being in the Navy. I thought I'd be the next Pete Mitchell flying airplanes, but I ended up flying submarines underwater.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, at the time of this recording, we've now suffered through at least three delays of Top Gun 2. And so I think last I heard it's coming out Memorial Day weekend, so I can't wait for that either. You know, beyond your dad the obvious influence that he kind of played, you know, in your life, not only I'm imagining as, you know, with the line of work that you ended up kind of going into with the military, who were some other guys? You know, we talk a lot about role models, you know, on MANA, because, you know, none of us end up the way we are without other men who have really, you know, helped shape who we are. And so who are the other guys, you know, with your dad or other than your dad that kind of come to mind as people who were particularly influential when you were growing up?
Well, two names that really pop out are was my grandpa, my dad's dad. He was a pig farmer from Morris, Minnesota area. And I've never seen anyone work as hard as him. My dad comes close, but they both just had that sort of farmer work ethic and the strength in their faith. And now mostly talking about my grandpa, that was never, what's the word I'm looking for? It was never sort of, in your face or even, not a touch of, you know, trying to just sort of demonstrate he was faithful or show off to his neighbors or friends at church that he was faithful. He just lived a committed, faithful servant life, in everything he did. So he was really the epitome of teaching by example. As far as both hard work, his dedication to Catholicism and to the church, his commitment to go to daily masses, along with putting in 18 hours in the fields, and then his just deliberate words he used to talk to my cousins and I. Like he was a man of very few words, I guess, but when he spoke, especially when he spoke about religion, everyone in the house got very quiet and listened intently to him. So yeah, he was definitely a person I looked up to, as I developed my own faith. And the other one is sort of the opposite of that. That's my mom's older brother. So my uncle Rob on my mother's side, and, she actually lost both of her parents when she was in high school. So he sort of took the fatherly role in her family, and sort of, he took the place almost of a grandpa on that side of the family. And he sort of had the exact opposite character. He was very, basically he taught me to swear like a sailor, even though he wasn't a sailor, but with that language and that sort of outgoing rambunctious personality, he always was a very dedicated, man of the church and faithful. And a lot of his behaviors, you know, were out there and outlandish at times, but he was always, you could always tell he was a man of faith, all the way down to before eating dinner, you know, the prayers would be said. Yeah. So, those two individuals, definitely influenced my faith from a young age all the way up to today.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you talk about your grandpa, and I do think, and this is very ironic that I say this, because I feel like I use up every word at my disposal at any moment, at any given chance. But you know, those influences that we have that are maybe a little bit more reserved, a little bit more deliberate with their words, I think can make such a profound impact. And so now here I am now, I'm quoting scripture twice in one show, but just very coincidentally this morning, one of the daily readings was this the story of Samuel and Eli. And anyway, I can't even remember what book it is, but I wrote it down in this little note card because it made such an effect. And it was basically, you know, Samuel kind of coming to the realization that God had kind of big plans for Samuel as a prophet, in this passage that, and the Lord grew with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. And so that's your grandpa right there. Every word your grandpa said had effect. That's neat. So representing, you know, the values and the people, you know, of the 3rd Congressional District, which again, I think I'm part of,
yes, I
would imagine that operating with that sense of purpose is also a motivating factor? Is it something that, you know, again, another cliche, does it help kind of get you out of bed, you know, and kind of feel like you're fighting another day kind of a thing?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was looking at retiring from the military, you know, it wasn't something I wanted to be doing at that time. All things equal, I thought I'd be driving a submarine around the South China Sea right now. But yeah, I looked at the public sector and a lot of jobs, interviewed for a couple jobs. But I did get the sense that those jobs were just not going to motivate me or give me excitement getting up every morning. And then when I started looking at a possible run for Congress, and the fact that both on the campaign trail and hopefully in office, you know, you get up each and every day trying to interact with people, with constituents, understand what their hopes and needs are, and then go, you know, carry their hopes and dreams with you to represent those in Congress. And that's really motivating for me to have this opportunity now. And it definitely sort of highlighted that, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Clearly this wasn't my plan at this time in my life. But I got a curveball, and I had other, you know, significant curveballs in my past. I had an unfortunate marriage actually, years ago that ended up in an annulment. And I look at my beautiful wife and my kids today, and although that was a heartbreaking and terrible experience to go through, I look at that as, Without that suffering, I wouldn't have had the redemption of meeting my wife and having my beautiful children. Mm-hmm. And I look at, you know, this opportunity as me running for Congress in a similar way. If without the Parkinson's diagnosis, I'm not in this position right now to hopefully serve the constituents of the 3rd District. So, I guess. Whenever you think you have the plan, God can chuck you a curveball. So you just got to react and keep the faith.
No, it's so well said. And I mean, we could talk on that, and we have to get to our little fun segment. But before we get to it, I mentioned it in the intro and kind of, you know, bringing up the give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And this is not intended to get overly political, but what I so admire about what you're doing and what so many others are doing out there is you're stepping into a space, especially now in this day and age, where the whole political realm it's not a real pleasant place to be. I mean, it's very polarized, and it's very contentious. And I'm wondering, and again, you don't have to get into specific issues, but I'm just wondering, for a man of faith who is committed to everything you just said there, you're committed to serving, you're committed to caring forward and representing, you know, people, not necessarily pushing your own, you know, sort of a personal agenda. How do you deal with it? You know, how, and do you ever feel, not compromised, but do you ever feel like the things that you, believe in and stand for, like, is it hard to stand for what you believe, you know, because it is such a sharp, there's just nothing but sharp elbows out there, you know? And I'm just wondering what that experience has been like, campaigning, meeting people, talking to donors. I mean, all that kind of a thing. Is it hard to kind of maintain what you believe in and still basically, you know, get elected, you know, or.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. And as far as getting elected, I'll have to get back to you on that one. but yeah, as far as sticking to, you know, what I believe, that has been easy for me, honestly. And I think it's just because of my approach, is that my desire is to represent Minnesotans in Congress. And so to do that, one, I need to you know, meet constituents and understand what their needs and hopes and desires are for our government. So there's an element where it's, to your point, I'm trying to go to be a representative. So it's not all about my ideas or my, you know, preconceived notions on what they need or what they don't. If I walk into a business leader or an employee and I'm talking to him at a meeting with constituents, I do want to hear what they think the government should be doing on X or Y. And then I will, you know, take their information in. And then, you know, I'll also, you know, circle back to what I previously thought on that certain issue. And then balance, you know, my faith and my morals on certain issues. Some issues, you know, don't really apply to that. Some issues in politics, you know, faith and morale is, and an individual's moral code is first and foremost on how they would vote on that potential issue. So to me, it's really a balance on representing the constituents, representing the country, and also representing my own beliefs and faith and moral compass. And so to me, just being open and honest about that in conversations with potential voters or donors or constituents has been sort of an easy balance so far. But to your question, I'm not sure how that'll work out in the long run, but hopefully I'm an elected official and I can come back in a year from now and right. tell you how great it
was. Yes, we'll have you on again. We'll have you, the congressman. We'll have to treat you with much more respect than we're treating you tonight. But you know, as you mentioned that though, it strikes me as you brought it up earlier about, you know, loving thy neighbor while you were serving, and this is just another verse of that same song. You know, you're loving your neighbor in representing your neighbors and keeping their sort of needs kind of frontal lobe, and obviously balancing with whatever else you think, you know, is good for the common good. But it strikes me as a very similar love thy neighbor kind of direction.
Yes, it absolutely is. And again, not to go too political, but my beliefs, you know, are definitely centralized on sort of safety and security, because you know, that's sort of the foundational role of government and a foundational part of all societies. And then it's liberty and the common good, and that balance and nuanced relationship between the two is really what the government needs to be focused on and working towards to enable, you know, Americans to live out their own American dream.
That's great. All right. Well, hey, we will now, I promise, get to the fun segment here, but I just tell you, we could just chat all night. So, so fun segment, same three questions we ask, every guest on Mana, and then we just kind of see where you want to take it. So fun segment question number one, if Jesus himself knocked on your door tomorrow morning and just wanted to hang out for the whole day, just you and Jesus, you can do anything you want, and you got them all to yourself, what are you going to do with Jesus?
Well, since tomorrow's January, but it's Jesus knocking on the door, I'm going to ask Jesus to pull a fast one for me. So I'm going to assume tomorrow is a beautiful fall afternoon. And what I would do with Jesus is I would bring Jesus along to an Eden Prairie football game. And there's really a lot of reasons for that. But first and foremost, I would just, one, I know God's already a Notre Dame fan, my college school. So I wanted to check if he's an Eden Prairie fan as well. And with their success, I'd assume he is. But honestly, to me, there's an element that a high school football game to me is almost a quintessential example of an American dream for me, as far as the kids on the field, the kids in the stands, the kids in the band. That sort of Friday night feeling of the 16 and 17 and 18 year old kids with thinking that's sort of, you know, their most important thing is that game or that band performance or to be in the stands there. And a feeling of opportunity, hopefully, that those kids have, you know, before the game, during the game, and after the game. So to me, honestly, Mike, I would love to bring Jesus to an event like that and just show him this is, I think, a good element of our society and see what he thinks of, you know, just as a snapshot of our society. And I would just be, you know, appreciate the opportunity to hear from Jesus on his sort of snapshot take on our modern society.
Yeah, no, that's a great scene. Great scene. And if I don't think EP plays Orno ever, but you know, if there ever was, and I'd try to sit right behind you guys. Yeah. Just to...
It would be a good conversation.
All right. Fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, famous or not, you wouldn't even need to know this person if you want to go all the way back to historical something or other. The only rules are you're going to church and it's going to be with another guy. Who are you going with?
My choice would be St. John Paul II. He could fully explain everything that happens at church, because I've only been going 44 years, so I haven't figured everything out yet. But he is, you know, in my memory, he is sort of the Pope of my childhood, and sort of my developmental years, I guess, as a young Catholic going through the sacraments. And the Pope was basically a mythical figure, you know, as a 5, 6, 7 year old. And since he had been the Pope for so long, it seemed, and he was the Pope for so long as I grew up. He was just sort of always a big figurehead, that obviously guided the Catholic Church through a lot of important events. And when I was young, and important world events, you know, he was involved in the Cold War, you know, hunger and all those big issues in the 80s. And so I would love to take him to church and to watch his sort of faith. And also there's he did suffer, I believe, from Parkinson's disease towards the end of his, his life. And he was able to, you know, successfully lead the church while bearing that burden. So a chance to spend a Sunday morning with St. John Paul II would be quite an opportunity.
Good choice. All right. Fun segment question number three. If you could give one piece of advice to a younger man, and so it could be Thomas, but probably in a couple of years kind of a thing. So this is kind of a maybe middle schoolish kind of aged young man who's just kind of coming into his own, thinking about, you know, the kind of person he's going to be, being influenced by people like you were influenced by back when you were growing up. One piece of advice about living a life of confident, but kind of humble, you know, faith. You talked about it with your grandpa and your uncle, people who, you know, just not necessarily, they weren't necessarily preaching all the time, but they're just solid. You knew it was there. What would that one piece of advice be?
To narrow it down to one piece is obviously hard, but I think it would be proud of your faith. I know I wish I was sort of prouder of my faith in those years, you know, the middle school years or high school years. And especially in today's culture, I think there's definitely some with an attitude of, religion and faith is, you know, that was so 1980s or 1970s or so 1950s, you know, almost that we've developed beyond that as a society. And I think the exact opposite of that, of course. So I think for a seventh or eighth grader in today's world, especially, to be proud of their faith and to, you know, discuss it with their friends and almost be apostolic in a way. And I know that's a lot to put on a seventh or eighth grader, but but just to be open and honest and proud of it, I think would be good for that young man and also good for all his friends that he interacted with.
Yeah. Well, and good for us old guys too. So that's a good reminder for all of us. So, all right. Well, hey, Tom Weiler, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure for myself to get to know you better over these last 40 minutes or so. And I just know that everybody listening is the better for it. So thank you for everything you've done, everything you're doing. And we just wish you all the best for your future. And hopefully we'll get you back on here in a year with a little update. So
yes, thanks again. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Jeff. And thanks to all those listeners for putting up with us for about 30 minutes. Here.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.